Good morning, honorable members. I don't know whether you had a hectic weekend. The majority of you, you are late also. This is the first time that I'm seeing the majority members coming very late in the committee. The apology from visitors, they were earlier, but this parliament is big. When they wanted to come, it was parliament that when they were at the airport, we cancelled that. So they are not yet familiar with the venues. We have accepted that apology. As from now onwards, going for local government, each and every weekend is hectic to members of parliament. I'm suspecting we are all want to occupy and to take and to get highest votes for a local government. There are those who are one other time trying to take similar okay, I won't say it. Let me take this opportunity to welcome our visitor, Idil Geshin, on behalf of East South African Cricket. I've seen in front of me that there is a president of Cricket South Africa, Mr. Chris Nezani, with us now. And I'm sure that we've got Mr. P. Dr. Peter Shashti, Vice President of Cricket South Africa. I was thinking that we'll be having the Chief Lani to be the Deputy President. At least to have that. We have Mr. Haron Lopez, Chief Executive of Cricket South Africa. Welcome. Mr. Max Ogdan, not the one that yesterday I pronounced in the Nelson Mandela Marathon, that now is going to be our mayor in Nelson Mandela. I don't know whether it's a brother to that. I'm not there. CSA Transformation and Neighbor Relations, you are welcome. This is your first time that are coming to us, but we've been getting the documents, and we've been reading your documents, and we disappointed you. Our apology, the program of parliament, is not designed by the committees of parliament. It is designed by programming. And then couldn't come. The motto of this committee, we do welcome and appreciate our entities. And we need to tell you that this is our first term to be members of this committee, especially this committee. So we don't know anything except that now at least we have a clue to your presentation because we did read. But sometimes when we are raising questions, we are not raising questions because we are insulting or disruptive. The motto of this committee is saying that come 5 years, we want to be with you in order that we must give a legacy that we contributed to Cricket South Africa by giving our opinions and wanting to work together. People are asking questions. Those questions are questions of trying to say together we can do more. Sometimes other entities, they felt offended. Because we don't want to hear from the previous committee or previous minutes. We want to hear from horse's mouth. Honorable members, I'm suspecting that I'm correct that Cricket South Africa sent their presentation earlier and we've read, except on Friday, that we did get your diaries, and I don't know what is the other folder. But before that, send this nice letter, file, whatever. We appreciate. One other time, Ushabu did come and gave us nice things, and they were saying to us, we wanted to give you this after the meeting, because we didn't want us to know that you think that we bribe you. We don't have that thing, thinking that when you're giving us some diaries that we don't have, that you will be bribing us. With those words, I'm hoping that your briefing is straightforward. It's briefing by Cricket South Africa, transformation, financial performance, governance and development programs. We did see all your presentations, hoping that the engagement yet it won't be instructive one, and it's going to be interactions that it will take us for these 5 years knowing each other, and if we can propose some gaps, and if you can, we'll be wanting to every now and then to meet us. Sometimes when we're taking oversight, we just want one of your members that they must be with us to hear. But if you are not with us, we'll come and tell you what did we get on the ground as this committee. With those words, we are welcome. But I'm noticing that according to gender, as a chairperson, I'm not happy. I'm seeing that there's no one among yourself. And this is South Africa. The majority of these entities, they are like yourself. And we don't take it kind, some of us as chairperson, as gender activists. I'm suspecting that as time goes on, we'll correct. I'm sure you can get, as I was in your presentation, we can get women that they do have interest. Maybe if capacity, that we don't have shop to buy capacity, that we can take some women along you develop in order that they must have this position. But we are noticing that, hoping that we correct as time goes on. We're here for 5 years. So that's the only thing that I must just upfront notice, that there's no tender in your presentation today, but I don't know the whole executive or component whether you do have. But today, when you are coming to our committee, we want that flavor of seeing that you are in South Africa. And this thing of E55 is international. We know that this 2015 we did go and present the scope of gender in each country. So we amongst those countries that we are about to achieve this 50-50. Okay. Thank you very, very much that today you are with us. I'm emphasizing our apology. You were at the airport when the program cancelled. We do apologize. The program is not done by the committee, but it was a national issue that made that the parliament must answer that. Thank you very much. If I can give one who's going to lead the presentation, and I'll hear from you. Thank you so much. Cricket South Africa.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Chris Nandani. I'm the president of Cricket South Africa, chairman of the board of Cricket South Africa. I need to go through the presentation, the introduction, because you have done that for me. Thank you for that. And also, we happy that you have noted our apology for running late to this meeting. And indeed, this is our first appearance before this portfolio committee in this parliament. Even though we've been here twice before, in the region, the year past, we also feel privileged that we have had, we have an opportunity to be talking with the leaders of our nation in order for us to account for the public entity that we lead, which is the South Africa. We understand and accept that whatever we're doing, it is in the public interest. And therefore, we try our best to ensure that the manner in which we lead this public entity is in keeping with the public interest of it. We also believe that this offers us an opportunity to enable this committee to better understand how we function, to better understand the decisions that we take from time to time. Hopefully that also the public out there is in a position to do the same. And as we come before this committee also, we wish to note and appreciate that the Office of the Speaker of Parliament sent a letter to A.B. de Villiers to congratulate him on his achievements as a cricket player, to congratulate him on his achievement as part of our team, also as part of the captain of our team. That has been truly appreciated by cricket at large, and it gives us an indication that Parliament, the highest authority in our country, is looking at what is happening within cricket. And we come to this meeting after a successful diplomatic season. We have, over the last season, seen an improvement in our offerings in as far as how our competitions are run and also how they are received by the spectators. Of course, your acid test is how many people get through your gate when you have events. So that gives an indication that there is something interesting that you do. And also, we're coming before this committee after a very successful international season. We may not have won the World Cup, but believe that our team competed with the best. And we believe that we had a team that was willing to die on the field of play. And also, we're coming here as Cricket South Africa at a stage where we're able to say that there is a high level of stability in the organization, a high level of efficiency in the organization. The first time I came here, that was in 2012, we were in the middle of the storm. I can say to you now that the storm is over. We are on calmer waters. We are running and focusing on issues that really need our attention as the leaders of this organization. And also, you will remember, we came here again last year, at the beginning of last year, when there were international issues, especially restructuring within the ICC. We also, as an organization, took decisions that were to advance our own organization, Cricket South Africa, decisions that were intended to ensure that the debates that were unfolding at the time do not erode our own structure in international affairs, also ensure that at the end of the day, we have content in terms of what we call the future tours program, where you enter into agreements with different countries to come and play. I can assure you that we are in a very good space, better than we were, and we believe that we, as you are going to see when the CEO is doing the presentation, we have quality tours after 2023. And that to us is a great achievement, and we believe we'll be equipping an organization that is functional to the next level of leadership. The presentation that is going to be taking place here today, you have received it, and we're quite sure that we have interacted with it. And as the CEO is going through the presentation, he is not going to go word by word, line by line. He's going to take up and lift up the most important aspects. Probably the interaction that we are going to have after that, then they'll be able to quantify and magnify some of the issues that you might want us to do. And once more, let me thank you for this opportunity. And I'm going to hand over to the CEO to go through the presentation. Then we can deal with issues. What we will do, all issues that relate to governance, I will handle them and the Vice President will handle them. Issues relating to operations, the CEO and the manager will handle those issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, President. as we can for you too.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thank you to the President. I've got on the screen the topics that we've been asked to cover, and I'll go through them as the President referred to, not word by word, but I'll lift up the key issues. I want to echo, because I think we can be proud in saying that we're currently in excellent shape. So what the President has relayed is absolutely true. Over the past 2 years, starting from the transformation in Durban that we held in September 2013, we've tackled every aspect of the business, be it governance, be it finance, be it development. Every single aspect has been tackled, and we're seeing the fruit of that at this current point in time. Madam Chair, you referred to the absence of women in our delegation. That's a proper observation, but it's also true to say that we have started to focus. We need some time in which to bring the women through. We focused on our national team, we focused on our provincial structures, and we've seen some real progress with our women having climbed to being number two in the world, and it performed very well at the last World T20 tournament of the ICC when they were quite impressive. We've had some responses back from the ICC as well. They're quite impressed, and they're wanting to know what we're doing because they want to try and implement those types of initiatives elsewhere in the world. And so you can take it from us, you can be assured that we are focusing on the female cricketers, and we want them to be also amongst the best in the world. We're also proud of the fact that early last year, for the first time ever, our under-19s had won the World Championship. It is regrettable. I'm sure we'll speak a lot more and we'll wonder why we came short at the men's event, which was hardly a month ago. We came very close, but not good enough to have pulled off that win. But overall, in terms of every aspect of our business, we're very pleased at the progress we have made. The President referred to the fact that our future TOS program, and that is the foundation of how we secure our business in terms of the future, whether it's revenue generation, whether it is crowd attendance at our fixtures, the way that we negotiate and secure the future tours by international teams coming to South Africa and where we go to in turn is crucial. And we've got a very, very good 8-year program that we have now secured. We also recently launched the Africa Cup. It's a T20 competition, having sort of satisfied ourselves that we've got our own house in order. We're now trying to develop the game across the African continent. We've interacted with what is known as the Africa Cricket Association to try and help them to develop the game across the African continent. So September this year, we've got a competition, the first competition, where we'll play 13 of our member teams plus 3 African countries as a start, and we want to see how we can develop that. It's a fact that we now enjoy very good confidence across the board. We find all of our stakeholders, we find our commercial partners. In fact, it resulted in some very impressive global partners approaching us and secured sponsorship of cricket in this country. Big names like Samsung and Audi are now partners of ours. And we're proud that we've had those sorts of organizations sign off in countries that are not cricket related. So Samsung, for example, was signed off in Korea and Audi in Germany. So those are significant because they were sizable sponsorships and required their global headquarters to sign off. I make a statement that there was one issue at the World Cup around selection that was a bit of a bugbear. I will be the first to say that it was mischievous, and I can back that up. I would say overall the media has been quite positive in its reports in recent months of cricket in this country, that World Cup issue aside. And often it is not easy to get media to be positive about you. But I think in some respects, quite grudgingly, there have been positive comments. Often when they say nothing, we're satisfied, because that's just the way the media operates. Madam Chair, transformation is paramount to us, and it will remain so. We stepped up our commitment to transform and to seek representativity at the highest level. It is also the issue that butt us at the World Cup, but we are determined and we will leave no stone unturned as we take the game across the country and we seek to develop and unlock the talent that no doubt exists amongst the majority of our population. We've now instituted targets across the entire domestic system. There's one issue that I think we will still tackle, and that's the signing of an agreement with the ministry. We're positive about that. We think there's merit in it. And one of the five pilot federations that is imminent to sign an agreement. We've completed all the documentation, and I believe the ministry has set a date for the signing ceremony of that memorandum of understanding. Where we want to focus on in the near future is around transforming or developing a new model for cricket in schools. We're very, very enamored by the involvement of Sports and Rec, as well as the Department of Basic Education. We've had a couple of meetings already, and we plan to roll out by September of this year, where we want to look at a new model for cricket in schools. We think that's where a lot of our transformation and our future success can come from. We all know what youth and young talent and children means for the future, and we're now ready, having cleaned up all of our internal process affairs, to tackle the massive task of looking at schools in cricket. And as I mentioned, we're very happy with what Sports and Rec, as well as the Department of Basic Education, has brought through. We're somewhere down the track in having developed a model in Gauteng, and we're going to roll that out across the country. In terms of transforming from the bottom up, we're very, very clear that we cannot transform the team at national level. We cannot achieve representativity automatically at the national level. We've got to develop the talent from the bottom up. So we've introduced targets across the entire system. So for example, in the professional system, we've got player targets in terms of achieving representativity. We saw a very warming success level in past season. We're seeing a lot more black players coming through. We're quite aggressive about seeking African talent in particular to come through. We've put specific targets across the entire cricket system, and that's where our focus will be. That chart on the screen, Madam Chair, is the model that we're working with to transform cricket at schools level. As I said, we've got Sports and Rec, who is also playing an enabling role. We're working with them now to integrate some of their facilities and budgetary support. The education department is key. They are linking with teachers, with schools governing boards, with all the leadership and mentorship that we need from the education system to help us bring cricketers through the school system. We've also teamed up with Stats South Africa because we believe that the relevant data and mapping our programs to where the schools, where the relevant schools are, where the need is in terms of disadvantaged areas, and so on is critical. So we need that data, and we're very pleased that Stats South Africa has also come on board to help us map where we need our footprints to be. And of course, our own programs and our own talent identification programs is what we will overlay with each of those areas. So this is a model that I am particularly excited by. I know it's going to be hard work. It's not an easy one. There are thousands of children across the country. There are many schools that we need to tackle. There are disadvantaged areas that we need to look at. But we're quite excited by the fact that even the Ministry of Sports and Rec has identified and prepared to fund what they call focused cricket schools. So we think that will help us. I'm not going to go through all of that detail, but we want to overlay that school system with what we call the regional performance centers and the hubs model, because we've been alongside the schools rolling out this particular model. But we think by overlaying it and overlapping it with schools cricket, we can achieve a lot more by that collaborative effort. What's changed in our transformation programs is pretty much a desire to accelerate all that we've been doing for a number of years. What we did recently was to change the basis on which we fund our models, and we call it activity-based funding. So depending on which area you're in, if you are busy doing certain activities, we fund the specific activities. We've also gone a long way to introducing accountability into our system. So you see there's a lot more specific funding. We measure it. We hold people accountable. We've got refocused performance centers, as I've said. We've got regional academies. There's a joint venture that we're doing with the University of Johannesburg. We're already doing one with the University of Fort Hare. We see the success of players coming through that system, ending up in the professional system. And we're very close to signing an agreement with UJ and the Gauteng Cricket Board and Cricket South Africa to develop a cricket facility and cricket programs on the Soweto campus. That's something which, once we get it rolled out, we will replicate in other areas like the Western Cape. In fact, the Nelson Mandela University in Port Elizabeth is also one where the Vice Chancellor is awaiting a meeting with us so that we can roll out the same model that we've got at Fort Hare, that we're about to roll out at UJ, we want to do in Port Elizabeth, and as well as here in Cape Town with the Western Cape University. We've reduced a number of scholarship programs because we know that alongside cricket development or talent identification, we also need our players to be more holistic. And so with our commercial partners, Momentum and Sangfa, we've got specific cricket scholarship programs where we've identified children, and it's been rolled up from this year. There were 17 children that I can recall countrywide that was the initial recipients of the Sangfa Trust, for example. It doesn't end with a mere allocation of a bursary. We've also got mentors that work with those children. We monitor them, and we make sure that they go through. And it's not a one-year thing. It's start-to-finish program that we've got. This past year in Feb was the first time we had the Varsity Cup. It was the inaugural event. And consistent with what we do across the board, we've also introduced targets in that particular program. And for the first time around, it was quite successful. And we're looking forward to the second one next year, because that's an area we think there was a gap, because we got reasonable systems through schooling programs. We've got very good elite systems, but in between, as each elite school, under 19, there's a dropout rate there that we think we should arrest. And the Varsity Cup, developing talent on campuses, is an area we want to try and promote. You might remember from our last engagement when we presented on the progress we had made at Manabutu. That continues in Mpumalanga. We've done an agreement with the Department of Sport and Rec. The facilities have been upgraded. We've got integrated talent identification programs. And Mpumalanga and Limpopo are two areas in particular that was, let's say, not as strong in a cricketing sense as we would have liked. But we've put some energy and we've put some effort there, and the people in that area have taken on well and started to progress very, very, very well. There's some pictures here, Madam Chair, of the University of Fort Hare, the Rural Academy. And some of those pictures are the actual kids who started off in the early days, then alongside the Hio Makai and Kini, the chap was playing. And he graduated, and we've got some of them now playing in the franchise professional system. As I said, women's cricket is a focus area for us. About 18 months or just under 2 years ago, we contracted the entire provincial or entire national squad. We never had that before. We've now got 14 full-time female cricketers, and as I mentioned earlier on, they progress very well. They are amongst the top playing nations in the world. We've got somewhere to go with the likes of England and Australia. We've invested for a long time in their women, but we're encouraged by what we're seeing. And certainly the growth in the women's game is phenomenal. And we think that will progress through, and it's a fact, worldwide that cricket was a very male-dominated sport, but we're seeing the transformation of that coming through. We've also introduced for the second time this year what we call a high-performance squad. We've been very particular about the players that go in there. These are players we see as huge proteas. We invest in them. They're still contracted by their provincial setup, but we overlay that with what we call a high-performance contract. And our Centre of Excellence has got some role to play in looking after these particular players. and most of them, in fact, have already appeared in national colours. So I think it's fair to say the selectors have picked well. They've identified this emerging talent, and we're starting to see them appear in the national setup. What are some of the challenges that we've got to meet our goals of accelerating transformation? Cricket is not a cheap sport. If you're unemployed, it's a challenge. The high poverty does not help us in trying to spread the game across all of the disadvantaged areas. Facilities is an expensive item in the cricket world. We need to take cognizance of these things. Unemployment, poverty, facilities impedes the accelerated growth that we would like to see. I think maintaining existing facilities, we find often that where we've got facilities and where the communities reside is a great distance, and we've got to transport players to get those facilities. It's not like in some of the other codes where if you just take a ball, you get an empty space of field, you can go and enjoy yourself and you can develop your talent. Cricket, unfortunately, needs very specific facilities. Some of the governance issues, I'm not going to spend long on this matter here, but it's fair to say that we've come a long, long way. We have, since our last engagement with you, rolled out the same structure amongst our membership. So the provincial structures now have aligned their governance models to include, for example, independent directors on their boards. And I have no doubt that we're going to see the benefits coming through from the bottom up, as we've seen at national level, where the board functions extremely well. Independent directors play a key role. The non-independent directors, which are presidents in the affiliates, bring the cricketing knowledge and the specifics relevant to the cricket issues. And the combination of the two gives us a very, very good decision-making process. It's also true to say that we measure much more decisively, we hold people accountable a lot more, and there's just the new governance culture that we've seen the benefits of, which has resulted in a very good reputation and image, and certainly public confidence that is high in cricket South Africa. We've also spent a fair amount of time in re-engineering the economics of the game. It is a true statement to say a couple of years ago we were running on a thin thread. Financial sustainability was an issue. But everybody has put shoulder to the wheel and implemented what we call a new operating model, where we base our funding on specific activities. We're very, very decisive. We've got each one of the affiliates and franchises committing to a break-even model, so they cut their cloth according to their cloth. They cut their shoot according to the cloth, and we fund only what we can afford to. We've seen a lot of that manifesting in results that are pleasing. In fact, I'll come a little later to the finances that we're going to report at Cricket South Africa, and that is also a basis upon which we believe we can sustain ourselves well into the future. I mentioned the transformation in Durban. It was very broad. It wasn't just representation focused. It looked at every aspect: human capital development, procurement, governance. Everything was covered in that. And there's in the fact that we had circulated, there's what we call a transformation in Durban resolutions tracking sheet. There were some 40 odd resolutions that we adopted. And each one of those we are here completing in implementation. We even looked at history to be properly recognized, and we've rolled out a few initiatives in that sense. What are some of the issues that we need to still focus on? The issue of geopolitical boundaries and ensuring that cricket is played in every district is the subject of a task team that we've got in place. The board is looking at that. It's fair to say that in terms of the timeline that was established by Shashkov some years ago, we've not met, but I think that's of every federation. It's not an easy issue to tackle, but I think we actually now, having cleaned up our own house, are now looking at the geopolitical boundaries issue, and we've got the provincial steering committees as well tackling the coordination at the province level. So that's something which we are now tackling. What are some of the other strategic challenges? I've mentioned school cricket, I've mentioned financial sustainability at provincial and affiliate level. One of the issues that is a concern for us is the mooted regulatory changes. There are proposed bans on fast food and alcohol advertising. We've got long-standing partners in this area, and we believe that all of the consequence needs to be taken into account. We've made submissions to relevant ministries, and we hope that an acceptable solution can be brought out with respect to that. Some of the other challenges, we get, as a matter of fact, very little or no support in certain municipal districts. So cricket facilities, particularly stadiums, maintaining international class stadiums is a huge issue for us. Madam Chair, we've got 12 stadiums across the country. We're now working and very close, in fact at the next meeting in June, we will be looking to get the membership to agree to regrade all of those stadiums so that we, because simply as a fact, we cannot maintain full stadiums. So we'll have to downsize in certain areas, we'll have to maintain in other areas the world-class facility, but we think we've got a model that will satisfy all of our membership in terms of the way we're proposing to grade stadiums, look after stadiums in the future, allocate matches to the stadiums. I don't have to tell you when you try to change things, it's a tough challenge, but sustaining those stadiums is a big issue for us. Our finances, if we had met you as we did in February, the 2013-14 figures would have been more relevant, but they're old because we've just crossed another financial year at the end of April, so we very, very shortly will be announcing our results for the year ended 30th April 2015. I'm very pleased to say that what was a targeted budget loss for us of 106 million, that's not up on the slide because those are current figures. What was a targeted loss for us, because the way our cycle works, we have good years and we have bad years, depending on the type of fixtures that come into the country. And with this past financial year, having had the World Cup, it takes out a chunk of our season, which means we can't fixture back in South Africa, which means we can't generate revenue back in South Africa. So we had a very short international season in South Africa in 14-15, which meant that we got a targeted loss. But this next year, for example, England will tour us as a much better year, and we did generate a profit. So we worked a system over 4 years. We have lean years, and we have good years. As long as we are able to break even or generate surpluses over a four-year period, we are satisfied, and that's the way our model works. So this past financial year was a supposed lean year, where we targeted a loss in the vicinity of 106 million. With what we've done with the new sponsorships that we generated, with the gains that we've experienced on the exchange rate, with the way that we've managed our cost base, I'm very pleased to say that we will report a profit in excess of 30 million. So we will experience a turnaround in excess of 140 million. So it's huge, can I say. It's something that we're pleased about. It means it will set us a base that will take us well into the future. And of course, we're proud with that. The figures on the screen will tell you the two previous years. 2012-13 was also a lean year. We had a loss of 133. 2013-14 was the well-publicized curtail tour of India, but we managed to do things that generated us a profit of 200 million, 199 to be exact. So over the last 2 years, we've been very good in terms of our financial performance. We've got a very solid base. I mentioned the four-year cycle. The previous four-year cycle ended in 2014. We generated a surplus of 325 million in that four-year period, and the next four-year period, which we're currently in, going from 2015 to 18, we targeted a surplus of 165 million. It's critical for us to retain reserves because of the lean years that we experience ever so often. Just a indication to the committee on the revamped ICC distribution model. Now, there was a lot written about this 12 months ago, Madam Chair, and the short explanation to it is that the way that the profits were distributed from the ICC to each of the member countries has changed. Whereas in all the years previous, it was an equal share of profits between each of the full member countries, and there were 10 full member countries, of which South Africa was one. We used to get an equal share as each of the others. What's changed is what you see on the wall. The bigger countries will get more money now, and the small countries will get less. So to give you the difference between what the biggest country will now get, which is India, the differential will be 6-1. So they will get 6 times more distribution from the ICC than what we will get. And as I said to my team and our board has discussed, on playing field is level. So with your inputs being different, and the playing field, you still have to compete equally. So what we do now is basically, in a short sentence, we'll have to do more with less money in order to compete on an equal footing. But that's the reality of the distribution model that's been agreed at the ICC. Not much we can do about that. There's a chart on the wall that gives you a sense of where our expenses goes on an annual basis. Almost 80% goes into cricket itself, between professional and amateur cricket. And I must point out that even though you might see 54% as professional cricket, there's a huge amount of development activity in there as well. But those are full-time cricketers. So for example, the high performance one that I talked about, those are developer cricketers. They are cricketers that we bring through the system. So between amateur and professional cricket, as you would expect, the bulk of our costs, the bulk of our spend, our costs administratively is around about 9%, and the national team takes about 9% of our costs. Something that we've done from our season, and it's come through in this financial year end, we increased our grants and our spend to the members. It's gone up by some 20%, and that's a result of what we call activity-based funding. We identify our activity specifically, and we pay for that from the center. And then the affiliate accounts for it and reports on it. There's a breakdown of how our spend is among each of the different areas. So mini cricket, for example, enjoys a 6% allocation. The hubs, or rather club cricket and the hubs, each get 15%. That's where the basic level of cricket is played. That's all in your charts, county members. In addition to the direct grants that we do, we also allocate monies indirectly to specific programs. So we run youth and other weeks, the Board Air Project, women's cricket, all of those we run from the center. And there's another 47 million that we allocate directly to those particular activities or programs. In total, per annum, we spend 134 million between direct funding to affiliates who then roll out their activities, and 47 million indirect funding, a total of 134 goes on actual program activities. That slide gives you a sense of our commercial partners currently. I can assure you, Madam Chair, that they are all very satisfied in terms of the returns that they enjoy out of Cricket South Africa. We've been fortunate in that we have renewed every single one of them. Two of the major ones we are currently in renewal. They want extended terms or extended tenure. We've done a 1-year renewal because we're studying that particular and evaluating the value that we're getting out of that sponsorship, because we believe we need to value it correctly. But every one of our sponsors are very satisfied with the current level of partnership arrangements that they've got with cricket in South Africa. On the performance front, we've enjoyed very good performances. There's some slides that gives you the percentage win and the matches that we've played over the last 12 months. This does not take the World Cup into account. The slides were prepared before that. We've got some of the best players in the world. They ranked at the top of the player rankings. Even our women have progressed very well. As I said, they ranked between the top 2 or 3 teams in the world now. Our men's team has for some while enjoyed the status of being the best ranked test playing team in the world. In ODI cricket, we've done extremely well to reach a position where at the World Cup we were serious contenders. It's unfortunate we came short in the semi-final, but that's the nature of competition. I've given you a list of the 17 successful Fort Hare graduates that we brought through the program, where they've gone on to. Many of them are playing franchise professional cricket, and many of them have also progressed with their academic careers. There are still one or two issues that we need to be mindful of. Blind cricket is a membership group, or rather disability cricket is a membership group that we've got to deal with properly. We don't believe we've got a proper understanding of each party's roles and obligations. The challenge that we had here last time was that blind cricket had committed to host the World Cup. In our view, they've not gone through a proper process, have committed millions of rands in expenditure without proper process. They've not got approval from CESCO, they've not got approval from Cricket South Africa. In the end, the World Cup was hosted, but it's something we're busy with right now to listen to Pina and to understand our respective obligations properly. We know, and I don't want to speak too much about the unfortunate reports on the selection issue at the World Cup. It's a matter which we've dealt with. There was an inquiry or an investigation that we did through the independent directors of Cricket South Africa, and we issued an extensive media release to explain the position of that selection matter. Other than that, Madam Chair, I want to end up where I started, that you can be rest assured that we believe cricket in South Africa is in a good place.
Wow. Honourable members, take this advantage that Cricket South Africa is with us. Let's engage on the presentation. Honourable Radhomo, Honourable Abhams, Honourable Manana, Honourable Jan, Honourable Janja, Honourable Malazi, Honourable Marika. Welcome, Honourable, the one who's just coming late.
Thank you.
Your committee agreed that you must all come at 9:30 every day. Your committee agreed that we must take our flights on the night of Monday. I just get an apology that we'll be late. So, I've accepted the apology, but I'm emphasizing that on Tuesday we need to start together. 9:30 sharp. Thank you so much. With that order.
No, Chair. We really thank Cricket South Africa, because I think your approach is the correct one, because your emphasis on Africa rather than just talking about generic blood. So from where we are sitting there, I think that is the correct move. We might just have to pay particular attention to those that are already there. For instance, the under 90 world champions. We also, in our work of being oversight, ask you questions about them after 2 years of training. Because that is what happens around cricket, that we identify people that are there and then they disappear. We don't know what has happened to them. And we are aware towards also building the game in Africa. I think that is the route to take. As well as our approach in terms of developing from the bottom up, rather than just by concentrating at a high level. School sport will also assist you, because we want to zoom in there, because we think if we can turn around school sport, everything will fall in place. So I think you got it correct. At the moment, we just need for you to sign with the minister so that we can begin ensuring that we do the same with the rest of others outside the regions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you to the presenter. Excellent presentation. Yes, we are very happy and proud that the front is not in the red, but all the colors. Yes, for me, she said the term generic black. I just wanted to, with my work, say that I was quite surprised to see that there's black African and generic black, and myself, I wonder where I was born as a black person in South Africa. But that's just an enlightenment. The scholarship programs, what criteria do you use for identifying such programs? And then also, do you have hubs in all the provinces, and how far is the hubs and where are they? Because in my constituency where I live, we've got a school that's got an excellent facility, but it's not being utilized because of the lack of maybe political subsidy. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. This was sometimes you must have the confidence to know who you are. You mustn't just forget this thing one other day, and you call, blah, blah, blah. You must just be proud of who you are as African women. Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy, Chairperson. I must say I'm happy, but although I'm happy, I still have to ask you some questions. I'm happy with the presentation, President and the CEO and everyone. So, firstly, I can see your lovely mindset. That's a nice word for protect. And the gender issue. Hey, the leadership, the management, I can say. You know, women. I don't feel. So, of course, I'm crying that there is no women. And officially, this gender issue, Cricket SA must look at it. And another thing on these transformation issues, we want to see the transformation not in writing. So I can see some of the things here. You have even charged the Malikutu. The Malikutu is performing in Chaperson. I must say that they are working, although they say there are some other issues that we have to be had, but they are working because now in that Malikutu they're talking about, they do have a woman that is, I think, assisting in media. She's a media officer at the Cricket SA. It's Lerato. I don't know if she's still there. Oh, okay. So officially, I'm not talking it's coming to a Chaperson because they agree with me. So I just want to have this question in all your 12 stadiums. That have you tried to fix the issue of the disabled, where they take the disabled side, taking and the drop-off side for the disabled? This is when one of your stadiums, like where it was, the new lens. Ever had a problem of the disabled taking, if I'm not mistaken. And another question, I think Chaperson, through, I think they have to commit themselves on this transformation target. Maybe they can give a specific reference to gender balance by giving the time frames. And they can pronounce their thing over as far as sponsorship, the ANAM. And they have to commit themselves in rural cricket development through the target identification programs. And my last question, actually I think I just have an interest on this one, although it's not in the presentation, Chaperson, since Tandi Toleti, he was one of the national players who passed on. I have a question about did he has been given an adequate and fair amount of game time and as his counterpart in the wicketkeeper position. Are they convinced that he was given the same opportunity in the national team as the white players? I think so.
Thank you, Honorable Manana. Honorable, we'll come later, Honorable Manana. Honorable Sudan.
Thank you, Honorable. Well, welcome to the meeting of the General.
we also appreciate the standings of individual, you know, players as well as cricket South Africa, you know, as a team. This is worth, you know, recognizing, because people do their best to help the team to be there. And a couple of questions. My first one is around sponsorship. You told us that we got some new sponsorship, and then there was a slide dedicated to current sponsorship. And my question is, when you negotiate the sponsorship, do they have an element of condition of transformation? Because with the current position where our country is, transformation, I would say, when it comes to ratings, you know, is a big issue. I agree with you that when it comes to the national team, you put more emphasis on performance. Nothing wrong with that. But I do know, I hope we all appreciate the fact that as government, we are seriously interested in seeing transformation take place. As an entity, your primary interest, even to retain sponsors, is to make sure that teams perform well. Now, that's where my question comes. Do they have? If not, why not? Because you could have a sponsor who says, I'll give you 100 million, provided you will pay zero attention to transformation. You just would just want to have a winning team. It is possible to have such sponsoring. That's why we want specific response to this. Where they do, if not, why not? The second question is, on those transformation targets, most of them seem to be hovering around 50%. You know, you specify 50%, you know, specifically on the national squad. Others are six, you know, below the number of players that play here on the field. But slightly below when you include the reserves. Now, why less than 50% when it comes to varsity? It's just three. That's what. Why that variance? There could be valid reasons, but we're interested to know. And now, how do you handle, because don't tell me that you don't have this problem. We wouldn't be so naive as to assume it's not there. How do you handle the resistance of white players when it comes to transformation? It definitely must be there. I'll play cricket myself, but not in the transformation days, in the olden days. Because there's money in the game. So it's bread for some and less bread for others. So how do you handle it so that we can see how we as a committee, you know, can be of any, can be of help, if any. Now, lastly, you've, on transformation still, last one on transformation, you've given us your proposed figures and percentages, but you've not committed to any days. Where the legal deal was around, they said so much by such a year and so much by such a up to 2019 or something like that. But you have not come anywhere near giving us the date by which you would have done, you know, achieved 1/3, 40%, 50%, and ultimately what would be the idea? What is the destination or destiny? Two different things. Where do you see this country cricket transformed 20 years from now? Where do you see it 5 years from now? Because as a committee, we work in cycles of years. As this parliament, fifth parliament, we know that our term ends in 2019. We'd like to know, I'm sure, as this committee, where cricket South Africa, you know, would be in terms of transformation when we get time for our exit, you know, comes. So I've got those lovely municipalities. You have indicated and welcome that, that we are approaching local governments to help with the maintenance and so on of the playing fields. But I'm sure this is not the first time. What sort of reaction have you had from the municipal, from local government up to now? Because, you know, I know this is an ongoing problem. You might have had some kind of issue. So that we can see and help us engage with the local government to see if South Africa, you know, where needs your assistance, come to the party, maybe even when it comes to adjusting, you know, funding. Because that's about all codes, you know, are complaining that local government doesn't seem to be coming to the party. You know, what sort of engagement and how have you had so far when it comes to the playing field? Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Initially, I had 7 questions, but now I've decided just to ask one question because your presentation has been very good, so I don't have those 2 questions anymore. of the 12 member countries that we talked about, so there are those that are referred to as bigger countries and some smaller countries. I just want to know how to determine that some are bigger and others smaller. Is it in terms of money perhaps, or in terms of performance? So I would like just to know that. My question is that simply as it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable
Minister.
Thank
you,
Thanks, Chair. I think it's important to give credit where it's due. On the issues of governance and financial efficiency, there's been a major turnaround, and I think that is important given the lengthy period that preceded this kind of administration. But I think that two critical issues that were referred to in passing, and I think it's important for the delegation to give the community insight, also with regards to the implementation of targets, and at which levels do they apply, more particularly on the likelihood of incompatibility between the targets, the transformation target, going right from the franchises and the national teams, and whether there is any recourse that the leadership of Cricket South Africa has where targets are not met with regards to actual performances. And also to give insight into the actual events that go into making sure that team representation is aligned to the targets and who in the hierarchy of the team is responsible for ensuring that those targets are compatible with the team. And also just to clarify whether there is no doubt in talking about targets and then merit selection, and to hear what happens when there is a disharmony between those two. What interventions are there for the board or the higher management of Cricket South Africa to make, if any? Because this will also just settle the uncertainty of, not the uncertainty, which it will settle the concern about what actually were the preceding events and how it was reported highlighting to the team. And lastly, just to check with Cricket South Africa in terms of your own post-mortem of the team's performance at the Cricket World Cup, say that, I mean, you know, given that on the day there was a reduction of overs which prepared an impact, but in your own assessment of the performance of the tournament now, what could have been done better to actually win the tournament? Because the sentiment going into it was that this was our strongest chance at probably winning the Cricket World Cup. And to check, you know, what that post-mortem has changed so that going into future tournaments, those issues that may have prevailed, and this does not only relate to the issues of, you know, technical management, but, you know, the broader preparation of the team for dealing with, you know, the psychological stigma that is often associated with the team referred to as choking in some instances. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable
Yes, Chair. Most of the issues have been raised by the honourable members who have just spoken. But, Chairperson, I think it is suffice to congratulate Cricket South Africa for being in an excellent shape, as they say, and as we can also see. And further congratulate them for the team that lost in the semi-final to New Zealand, though we were expecting that they could do better than that, and because we fear in New Zealand when it comes to rugby, we cannot expect them to deal with us in the semi-final. But congratulations. I think you are one for code that deserves to be congratulated, because you see South Africa has got a tendency of just congratulate everybody. that's honest. Because if you congratulate everybody, when you are to congratulate the one who has done that, it's almost the same. For me, there was no reason to congratulate Bafana Bafana for going to Equatorial Guinea and do not win a match and say no, you've done well. That's not. It's only South Africa where you will find a country going to the competition like that do not win and it's said at the end of the day, all is right. It's only in Sanaa. Other countries don't do that. Chairperson, on the issue of transformation, as I was listening, for me, it's like Cricket South Africa is just on the beginning, in the beginning of the long journey towards transformation. It is, we don't have a lot to say now, except to wait and see as to how far they go. Because that is our main concern, to see cricket transforming, especially in the rural areas. I'm just the chairperson of the board, he's like myself, so he knows better what I'm talking about, because it's a fact that in South Africa there's no cricket in rural areas, which is not okay with us. One other member raised the question of the hubs. I believe if that those hubs can, because I know that they are not in the rural areas, even if I don't know how many they are and where they are, but they are not in the rural areas, because we also come from the, we go around, they are not there. If they can be extended. And the issue of the club development, we would like to see that also in cricket. We would like to see clubs being formed, cricket clubs. We want to see the leagues in the rural areas, cricket leagues being played today. We are happy we have got a number of sponsors, so it tells that it's possible, you can make it. We should be also be worried as to when can we begin to question you, as to say, we saw your presentation, it was good, you were planning to go all out and transform cricket, but when can we expect all this to be realized? You see, because there is no reason to keep on talking transformation. Transformation, we are planning to transform this way and that way. And lastly, I'm happy that the presenter mentioned the issue of how you dealt with the there's a rumor that there was an interference, and that is why we lost. And you see, that is very serious, because those rumors only came out when we lost. When we were still winning, it was quiet. And when we lost to New Zealand, we could hear that no, it's because the minister was interfering with this, blah blah blah. So this should, I don't know how we could try and avoid such a situation, because if something like that is going to be said on the cricket, when we appreciate that cricket is doing better, and only to find that nothing is said in soccer, where we are losing the most and other sporting codes. But with cricket that is doing well, you'll find that there are these rumors of interference by politicians. It's not right, you see. But I'm not saying there's something you can do if it didn't happen. But I'm just emphasizing how bad it is, you see, because one would say, because as we were watching the performance of the team on that day, you could see that the players were doing silly mistakes. You see, one player, I mean two players going for one ball, you see the ball dropping, you see, how are these people playing today? You see, and after that you hear that, oh no, somebody was not supposed to be picked in the team, but it was because of the interference and so on and so forth. Otherwise, we are impressed with your presentation, but we would expect, therefore, that when you come again next year, because as I said earlier on, that this is just the beginning of the journey, we would want to have a feel or to see as to how far have you gone, because you cannot be staying in the beginning. You need to move. You need to get going. You need to grow. We want to see cricket being played, especially in the rural areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Leader. Oh, Honorable Mushi.
No, thank you, Chairperson. And then let me just apologize for late coming.
Chairperson, let me begin with the one that everybody spoke of interference. You see, Chairperson, we are an oversight committee, and previously in our debates of the budget debate, we highlighted certain issues that were happening within the weekend. And one of the issues that we raised was that the transformation was happening very slow. We raised it previously. We indicated in that budget speech that we have a problem with an instance where every time there is a substitution taking place, a player of color is being substituted with a player of color. We had a serious problem with that. We had the CEO indicating that the interference that was alluded to was never happened, did not happen. But I must indicate to the person that even if it did happen, even if it did happen, even if there was interference, if that interference was made in the name of transformation, would definitely support it, even if we lost. Because we speak transformation here. I just want to make it clear, Chairperson, and I want to indicate that you are saying it is said that the media can make you and break you. And you know, when it happened, my heart went out for Kai Abbott, Kai Abbott. And I just want to check with you as the cricket team, because this thing is more like this. That you are a failure, and all of a sudden the media is talking about you, that you cost them, you know, the World Cup. It's not right. I just want to check with you, what support did you give to Kyle Abbott? Zenon Philander. Thank you very much for that correction. That is my first one. But my second one is with my engagement with the Department of Education. Like I said, that we are an oversight committee. We are not a department. And every time we try to engage with the Department of Education as far as sports is concerned, there's a problem. Maybe you manage to convince them to support it. You will tell us about that. My second question to that is, I'm going to quickly take them. I would want you to unbundle the model that I think is going to roll out in somewhere in September of school cricket. Just unbundle. Tell us how that is going to happen. CEO indicated that cricket need a specific type of field. Just tell us about that. On your finances, I don't have a problem with it. They look very wonderful. But you said to you that they go like this, they go like an economic cycle. And I just want to check with you whether you say a better chunk of your income comes from sponsors, or is it income that is generated through, you know, when you play things like you indicated that England will be coming to the country sometime in the future. The last one, with the banning of the fast food and alcohol on alcohol access, with your projection, how is it going to affect your injections financially? Are you prepared for that? How is it going to affect that? Because realistically speaking, it is going to happen. The Minister of Department of Health indicated that it will happen, whether we like it or not, it will happen. So you need to be having some kind of, you know, a tool that it, basically that is what I want to check with you, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me take also this opportunity to thank Cricket South Africa. You know, as this committee, suppose we were part of our first budget vote when we we presented it. We have said, as this committee, we have a passion of its transformation. We have said 21 years down the line, we don't see and we cannot claim that its transformation is there in sport. But after that, each coach and entities, they do come in this committee. And we're giving them the very same thing, saying that I don't know whether in parliament or in a committee we must have the motto, but with us as this new committee, we're saying transformation in rural areas. But when we did get your documents, we have seen that we are struggling to do a transformation. Unlike other codes that I cannot mention, if we are raising this problem of transformation, they are thinking that maybe we don't even know the translation of transformation. What do we want? We don't want black to black or white to white. We know what we are wanting. Let me take the opportunity to say that I'm amongst the people that they do congratulate my leader. Even the soccer players, I've been a player. When you are trying, striving, and at the end you don't win, you need to be pat at your back to encourage you. We are encouraging you. We do encourage even those who sometimes not win the game. I've been a number 7 defender of netball. So I know how to lose in the ground, and you know what I'm saying, that we have tried our best. If I can say, the netball from Botswana was playing for the interstate games, they were double tall than myself. Mm-hmm. And being a GK, I was trying to earn those balls within the, and it was all in vain, and I was trained. But the height, it tells you that even if your coaches, even if the way that they've trained, but you are not going to manage, you must try to hang on your wings in the center. That ball must not come to the post. I'm just sharing you who am I in sport. But also, I'm very happy that also you have problem. At this committee, we discourage each other that we must come and every now and then comment in those destructive media houses. You mean South Africa, if you can every day come and discuss these social media things and everything, would be just thinking that nothing is happening in South Africa. Be strong, do what you're supposed to do, correct those things that some media houses are saying that they're not doing well, like the comic. But sometimes people, when they want to sell their papers, they can demoralize South Africans and saying everything that they like. As this committee, some of us, we know that we have dark media in South Africa. Not everybody who's constructive. There are those who are very destructive. Let me tell you that we are sharing the same pain, and that they are done by some media houses. They are present, just some of them. I don't know who are they, but I know that they are. When we're having meetings, but we have been trying to tell, they must be constructive in criticizing whatever it is happening in South Africa. We've got to change. We've got to transform it as it is. We need media people who must portray what is going on in cricket, what is going on in netball. You know what? I'm happy that in your presentation, as I was complaining about the gender, but I was aware that you are trying your best. So these girls or ladies, about 40 women, keep it up. That's why I'm telling us that other African countries or international, they want you to tell how do you do. That's South Africa. I've been studying in other countries. When they are seeing people who are coming from this parliament, sometimes they are thinking that all is well with South Africans. Because so many things they want to come and copy. They want us to share and tell them how are you doing to improve the representation of women in the cricket. We support you. Honorable members, you are right. We can't say all is well if you don't put time frames. When you are coming here, we were not saying that why didn't meet your time frames. The most of your presentation with good ideas, you don't put it time frames. Go and correct that. We are here to do the oversight. We are here not to be destructively criticize you. And we are hoping that each and every member who's putting his or her views doesn't want you that you must be destroyed. 4 years, because this 51 is about to finish, we'll be here as this committee. We want to be part of you. When we're doing oversight, when we're coming from these provinces, we'll tell you and we'll ask you to go and assist. This committee has been experiencing the problem of maintenance, especially with our MIG grant, which as a department, we do donate 15% to the municipality to look at infrastructure. Infrastructure is not done by the department. We are sharing the same concerns. But as what she thinks, we are going to do what we have planned to check what is going on. We have called the Australia. And once you do have this problem, we'll try to intervene and try to assist if how you hear from us. In the rural areas, really, South Africans are people who love sports. Even this xenophobia, it won't do anything in South Africa if there are people who perpetuated it. You have seen, you have heard yourself what happened in the Nelson Mandela this weekend when the soccer was there. They said themselves, our brothers, that it was the South Africa that they know. But I'm from Eastern Cape. You know Alice. You know I do. If you can try to assist in some area that I've mentioned, I'm not happy about some things that I've seen on my way to Amtata. You know that businessman who's assisting in cricket. But the crime now that is written black and white. That businessman is trying his best and we appreciate it. But when things are not right, you see those writings. Cricket South Africa. What can you do about that? As you are telling us about you doing assisting in the school sports and whatever, we do have limitation of budget as this committee, ministry. But we are not saying that we have bundle of money. To your plans, as these honorable members, we need to see you, your intervention in rural areas. I mentioned this one, and some will be mentioned. President, with your team, check what Ngombela is eating there. It's damaging. While she's doing very well, but it's damaging when you are reading those writings in there, talk to chairperson of the committee. She will come and report to the committee on what I'm raising. As this committee, we're happy about your presentation. Your presentation, you are getting there in the transformation. And we're seeing ourselves. But some of the things that we have written there, we must go and do it oversight. And we'll come and critique you again. With those words, I'm saying that really, your rural areas, we see them that they are taking even the wood, trying to break the bone in the dusty areas. We know that we have sports cars that sometimes assist in putting these facilities. These stadiums that we are talking about, as this committee, we have to see you in this period telling us that Portfolio Committee of Sport and Recreation, we've done ABC when we have listened to you for the development of rural areas. But you do take care, but you are feeling that if you can have more or your surpluses, if you do have, identify any rural province that we think that during our time, Cricket South Africa, irrespective of what is in the book, we still think that was too far in the rural areas. They're not a department, we know that, but some of us tomorrow as the committee will be debating, will be telling you what we are expecting to the business sector to code. It must not be only a government who are seeing this poverty that you have mentioned in your document. How can we assist a government on this problem? With those words, I won't say anything. I'm thinking that I'm putting my input and my closing remarks, except that now is the time that you must try to answer the question from the members. Thank you, President.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I think let me start with this one. Please rest assured, we're giving a lot of support to Mr. Mula. We're giving a lot of support from CSA, and we work with him, and also from Border Cricket, so there's a lot of support because we appreciate the work that he's doing. Secondly, I don't want us, when we leave this committee room, any person who has stated that CSA is the rich federation. But what you see is the manner in which we manage our finances. Because if we leave without impression, we might get nothing from the department. So I want to leave that impression. There's been a number of questions that we will try our best to respond to, and I will direct them to the relevant people. But I want to make this point, Madam Chair, that my conducts are on record. If for whatever reason you want explanation on an issue, you say to conduct it. Because sometimes what you read is not necessarily true. And unfortunately, sometimes it's truth at a certain point in time should not be in the public domain until certain things have happened. So if you need context on certain issues, you're free to conduct them. And what I'm going to do then, I'm going to request the CEO to deal with issues relating to development of the under 19 that has won our first World Cup, the criteria for scholarships, the hubs, where are they and how effective are they, and how do you want to ensure that they become more effective, the issue of how do we utilize our stadia, and also whether our stadia are friendly to disabled people. And then Peter, my vice chairman, is going to deal with the issue relating to gender issues in our organization. And also Max is going to deal with issues relating to rural cricket. Then once that is gone, we'll open and take some questions. I hope that approach satisfies you, Madam Chair.
Is in order, and if, as you are saying, if members they do want follow ups or are feeling that their gaps are not filled, I'll give them that chance. Thank you.
But you will notice that I'm not yet covered all the questions. But
no, no.
Today,
we'll do that. President.
Go on the next group of questions.
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Nanzani. Perhaps two remarks, Madam Chair, to build and to flow on some of the comments made by the members, and indeed yourself. I'm also often challenged with trying to manage and deal with the media. It's not an easy task. The more you speak the truth, the more it gets answered. One of the disappointments I have is that we have in this country some of the greatest players in the world. Some of the best players in the world were produced in South Africa. And Madam Chair, some of them are black players. We've got them no better mark than being number one in the world. There's an objective ranking. Yet we struggle to speak and boast well about such players. And one of the committee members referred to Mr. Philander. He happens to be amongst the best in the world. And yet, some of us question his selection. And that makes me very sad, Madam Chair. That an objective rating and ranking system cannot be sufficient to say that such a player deserves to be there on merit. And I want to make it categoric because it might answer one of the questions that somebody might have asked about our selection and our policies. We've got an independent panel who select the best 11, and the only time they would apply their minds, if one wants to say to favour, would be if there's a 50-50 choice between a black player and a white player, and the selection coin will fall in favour of the black player because we're not shy to say that we want to be aggressive about transformation, creating the opportunity for such players. And that, Madam Chair, is known in the team. It is understood in the team. And somebody asked about how we manage the resistance of white players. We are transparent. We explain it to them. They appreciate it, and I can assure you they support it. But when we get the stories written, everybody starts to think in a slanted fashion. But I don't want to get caught in that. I also want to the second comment say that like yourselves, like the budgets of anybody, we are constrained by certain limitations. We certainly, Max will speak more on the rollout in rural areas, the cricket that we develop in rural areas. If we had more resources, we'd certainly be more visible in many more areas. But we've got to be responsible in the way that we don't let our own growth trip us, Madam Chair. Because if we go and build and we've got experience, we build facilities in certain areas, only to come back a year later and see that they destroyed for some reason or the other. And we cannot waste our resources, so we're very, very careful and we try to build capacity right at the grassroots level so that those facilities are looked after by such people. The hubs rollout, we started, and somebody mentioned the name of Solikia as well. He's responsible for a hub here in Langa. We've got other areas that we are, but we're still at the early stage of rolling it out. We've developed a plan. We've got a number of centers, and Max will have details on where those facilities have been rolled out already. But the idea is, over a period of time, to be able to access every one of the districts and certainly have a regional performance center in each one of the provincial boundaries. So we want to have it across the country so that we can have access for all of our cricket players who aspire to get to the top. Disabled facilities in the stadiums, we've got it at some of the stadiums. We don't profess it as part of the re-engineering of our stadiums that we're looking at. We've got facilities, we've got parking, but it's perhaps not as marked and as it should be. But as part of the upgrading that we're looking at. There was a bit spoken, Madam Chair, about transformation targets and timelines. Perhaps it's absent in the presentation, but we've got it in our details. It's something which we will sign up with the ministry as well in a memorandum of agreement we've got. So over the next 5 years, we've got targets that we seek to achieve. We've got it within our system, and somebody asked also about what is the sanction, how will we deal with it. The president, the chief executive, as well as the coach of a particular affiliate or franchise will come to before the transformation committee of the board of CSA to explain why targets have not been met. So we've got it through the system, and there are sanctions available. We started initially with incentivizing the different affiliates. So it wasn't, so we gave them time, that would be the incentive. We would pay for the contract from the center, from CSA, and that was last year. But this year there's no, call it monetary incentive. You shall achieve those targets, and if you fail to achieve it, you come and explain, and we then apply sanctions. So we've got a very deliberate program, including timelines and targets that you can be assured exist. We didn't go through all of that detail in your pack of information. I don't know if Max wants to add at this stage on rural cricket, but just to give him a chance, let me just echo on the Varsity Cup. Why less than 50%, somebody asked? The Varsity Cup we introduced in February of this year, and we only started with that initiative late last year, like October, November. And because students are beyond our recruitment control, it's held us by the university, we believe that we needed to be, let's call it soft at this stage, because students come through a system of their own. But coming next season, we will start, and we've given them notice that they will have to align with the same targets that we got across our cricketing system. But because students is not somebody that we recruit, is recruited by the university, we let the universities deal with that on a soft basis last year, which is 2015 or last season, and we're looking to increase that over time. It was the first time we applied targets in the university setup. Max on Rural, do you want to add anything?
Can you do the next
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I just say that in terms of the rural cricket setup, we've got a specific focus on that. We are in all of the eastern 9 provinces, and in particular the Eastern Cape province, we are in 3 regions. And then also in KwaZulu-Natal in 2 regions, and then in the Western Cape we have 3 regions. So we do have then the young players away from the larger urban centres, they are being focused. So more so, Madam Chair, you've spoken about Dallas, and you know the Port Air is obviously there, and they play a critical role, not only as a university, but they reach out to the little school children. Matumbela has been discussed. The facility that's there is part of the Cricket Legacy 2003 project, including the clubhouse that cost us then 2 million rand to build, but then now he often says he wants to St. George's Park at your town. So, but so we know he was up. In terms of specifics in Mpumalanga, Bushbuck Ridge has been identified as a hub. We know that that's most probably the poorest region in South Africa. And Malakutu, we've indicated that the traders has now moved in. We have a very good relationship with the provincial department of sport. So in terms of rural cricket, over and above our normal spend for all of these teams across all 9 provinces, 1.8 million that we spend on a league, and then subsequent to that, the top 10 teams come to a focus week where they get a champion team, where we selected the South African rural team, and that also cost us in facility of 1.2 million.
Any other?
Yes, maybe Chair, to further give a historical context on the issue of rural cricket. You would have noted in the past that development at that level was mainly centered around schools, and hoping that that is going to sort of grow talent and begin to channel it upwards. At that point, in terms was correct. Probably because the school is the most controlled and managed environment at that level. But the challenge that in many rural areas I come from the Eastern Cape, rural schools are dying for practical reasons. One of them is urbanization, that's why you have that problem. And as a result, then that cricket development impetus is not actually taking place. That is why it's looking at our presentation talking about how it's trying to align schools and cricket development at that locality towards a club. Because you go to a village in Alice, you find a club that is as old as 8 years, 9 years. It has been there in that community. So it's going to be there for the next 100 years again. So if then your development programs put your class at the center, it's going to give you some kind of return. So that is why if you look at our trying to re-engineer the system to say, let the class take charge of development. A school be linked to class because a club is not permanent. A school, as I've seen, is more temporary. So that's how we deal with these issues. Obviously, sir, there are huge challenges. You don't play cricket in any facility. It has to be specific of cricket. Therefore, you find those challenges in rural areas where you don't really have these facilities. And unfortunately, what we do, must tell you, once you identify a talent, to take them away so that they get better coaching somewhere. And that creates an impression that we're not focusing on the rural areas, but we're trying to address a practical possibility that this talent needs further development, that needs to go to a place where it's going to develop whilst we're dealing with the challenges that find on the ground.
That's what we don't want. We are promoting that sport as a development and the entity. Let's try to have this facility in the rural areas. Of course, we can do that. We can create that. As this committee have noticed that, we are confirming what we're saying. But we're saying we're not happy about that. But we are saying these are challenges that maybe sometimes you can take Umphuthumi from Limpopo, seeing that he must go to Isilanani, we don't land it and we create a school for Shogumakaya. Yes, instead of trying to check, coming together, government and business and whoever, what can we do in this rural area called Kulu in order that we must be seeing that even the rural areas can get this. That's the principle, that's the thing that we must together, we must plan accordingly, we must talk to the department, we must talk to the business people, we must talk to our entities, because you do see the problem. But the only problem that we don't want is that we must take them to the urban, to urbanize them. But in rural areas, let's say that this is a democracy, a government of democracy. Let's try to have things that have not happened in our communities, in our tables. So I do appreciate that we are just honest in telling what we are doing, but we do hate that we are doing that. But let's try together to change strategies in order that we must see these things happening in all the rural areas. But as you are saying, that it's a challenge. Each challenge that you don't overcome is over a day. So I want to just to say that I'm happy. You know, some other people, they don't want that. You must say that some things are happening in urban. They are thinking that, no, Tina, we're taking our kids to urban areas. But now, yes, we're taking them because there are nothing in our rural areas. Let's build these things. Let's have these facilities in our rural areas. Together, we can do more.
We are hoping, Madam Chair, that with the interaction between ourselves, Department of Sports and Education, as well as DPE, that the CEO alluded to, some of these issues could be on a long-term basis to be addressed. But we need to find a short-term solution so that we do not disadvantage currently talented youngsters who need better coaching, so that if you were to wait for him to wait for the facilities to develop where he is, by that time he's been 8 years old and he has lost out on an opportunity. That's why we're doing that. The critical issue, Madam Chair, is we would want to ensure that where the player is, that's where they develop.
The honorable members, is the question of school sport. And as we're sitting here, we know the guy that we're seeing. because in reality, what he's saying is really what we need to break all those problems that wanted us not to have facilities in the rural areas. Basic education, what in contact, what discussion, because we used to have plastic on Wednesday to do each sport at school. Now it's no longer like that. And we used not to have perfect trainees and coaches in our school during our times, but we did have e-players. So, as we are saying, President, these things we cannot just overnight have seen them happening. But if we are planning together, we cannot disadvantage the kids. But the problem is a sister department. We need both of us, sport and education, check how can we get people that they can train these kids right from the rural areas. If we are not strive to do that, we won't have anything in the rural areas. We'll be taking, because we don't want to disadvantage them. We don't want any kids to be disadvantaged, but the resources must go back to the rural areas, which is not the problem of only Cricket South Africa. It is a problem of government, and together we must have, as we are saying, a short plan. Basic education must come in with our support. How do we address this problem of not having coaches, not having anything to our rural areas? So I'm saying this thing we can argue. We are not happy that it's not happening in the rural areas. It's happening in the urban areas. We are not. Urban areas already resources are there. But if in our policies, you know, when we are discussing, we are not only focusing in codes, we are focusing even in our policies together. How can we strive to check where the weakness and gaps of our policies? These two departments, sport and basic education, we need to assist the codes that anything that is happening in urban areas, why can't it happen in the rural areas? That's our point, and especially I'm strong on that. That no, we can't always focus on the past, that we didn't have these things in the rural areas, and now we cannot strive. And I'm hearing clearly, we are not saying that we cannot, but your short term that you're talking about, it needs us together. We can't always have anything in the rural areas, rural schools.
There's probably a few other questions. I'll try and tackle them. The point about Solikina having had enough of an opportunity in the national team. I think it's always difficult to deal with selection matters. There's always somebody who might think you didn't get enough opportunity, you might somebody might think that's not his best, but what we practice at the national level, bearing in mind that we want to see representativity, and I've explained that if there's a 50-50 choice, we would favor the transformation policy that we've got already in place. It's followed by the committee, and it just stood us in good stead. We're not number one in the world for no reason. And when some people suggest that transformation and winning or excellence can't go on the land, I don't agree with it, I don't believe it. But there is a case to be said that perhaps Tami Solikile could have got a further opportunity, but at that time the selectors determined the basis of their team, and we accept that as an independent process. There was a question on whether sponsors provide conditions on transformation in providing their sponsorship towards us. We try and we avoid conditional sponsorships. We believe we know what we have to achieve. Where the sponsors would be keen to ensure that we are transforming is through our BEE scorecard in any event, because they would be seeking for the points on their scorecards. So Cricket South Africa, as a matter of fact, must also get accredited in the best possible manner in terms of the BEE scorecard, because those points work towards the sponsors. But conditional sponsorships we would be very careful on. There was a question on municipalities, what sort of reactions we got so far. We focused in the last 12 months or so on engaging with municipalities on a greater level. I'm pleased to say the city of Swane and recently Bloemfontein municipality has sponsored the stadium in Bloemfontein and turned or purchased naming rights. So those two in particular I'm aware of, and some months aware of. I know Durham also got some support from the municipality. But I think it's a fair comment that the kind of support that we would really want, we don't currently enjoy in terms of the municipality, the pockets here and there that support us. We are focusing on a bigger scale. In fact, we're even thinking on how can we brand our cricket leagues and so on to get city involvement. But that's a piece of work we're doing. There was a question on revenue, the split of our revenue sources. The majority of our revenue comes from broadcast media rights revenue and international broadcast rights revenues. So that's by far the majority of our revenue. The next source of revenue is the sponsors themselves. So they are a lot less than our rights that we sell. And then lastly is the gate revenue, which is not a major portion of our revenue. But that's kind of the three categories of revenue. There was also a question, Mr. Chair, which you might want to also assist me in answering. How does the ICC determine bigger and smaller countries? It was a scorecard which we are still trying to access the details of how they got to number one and number 10 in the rankings of allocating profit shares. But they've developed, and the bulk of it would be they share that country X provides the bulk of international revenue for the ICC, and therefore country X must get a better share of that revenue. So in this case, it's India generates the bulk of international revenue for the ICC, and therefore they argue the case to say they should get a bigger share of the profits as a result. There might be differing opinions. I think if we come together as the ICC, we all build on developing that revenue. We play the World Cup together. We look equal performance to it. My view is it should have been shared equally, but that's not the case. I think the chair wants to add anything to that point.
Just to add that arrangement will be in place until 2023. That is for the current right cycle of the ICC. Probably after 2023, might have a different model depending on what would have been the issues relevant at the time. But the scorecard that Harun refers to, we have registered a concept to say we want to see it because it's going to help us prepare for the next election. We have not seen it at this day. Continue that.
Okay, thank you very much. A question about yourself, and I think Honourable Mama, the one issue about social media, because South Africa started coming back with a new governance model, okay, and we have a couple of independent directors also. So on that, on the board, we do have female representation. We have Dawn McCullough, which is well-known businesswoman. And we try to link that down towards the affiliates also. So those representations will be coming through there. And then also, I think she also mentioned Larata, which is our media officer traveling with the team. And I think she's much more than the media officer. She has been empowered to actually school the players, especially speaking to the media. She's more than a mom to her. And I can tell you that she really looked after them, from doing basically everything to them. Also, we have Jolili, which is our secretary, our board secretary. She's our legal representative also, Rodisha. Of course, also, I don't know if you can recall that Zolik Mai is the first president of a union, and she's been rewarded with a sports award here. Okay. So we are doing our job, and it unfortunately takes some time. And the usual spice up the meetings also, as you can see. We would love to have more females, and as we the empowered our female team, we will be empowering our females also to come through. And I can tell you that in our next delegation, there will be a female.
Honourable members.
You might be just one or two other questions that I pick up. There was the question on whether we've done the assessment of the World Cup, the performance, where we might have come short. Madam Chair, the New Zealand players that told me that it not rain, we would have walked that game. But you know,
that's beyond our control. It is true, missed a couple of key dances. I think often matches of that nature, both teams make a mistake or make mistakes. The one who makes the fewer mistakes ends up going through. But I still am absolutely confident about our team. We've got a fantastic team. If I could tell you about the quality of those people, Madam Chair, you would be impressed. They are serious human beings. They understand what we're trying to achieve. They know what their role is. We've done that Protea Fire campaign, as you've seen. They've won the hearts of South Africans. And they seriously, a bunch that understand what their role is and what their responsibilities are. I am fully supportive of that team. There was also a question on the impact of bans or future ban on alcohol and fast food advertising. We're working hard. We realize it will come at some stage. We made submissions. We will get alternate sponsors to fill that. But Madam Chair, we are also an organization that has loyalty in the people that have served with us. So we are arguing a case. Because if you take fast foods, for example, the kind of work that KFC is doing to improve the lifestyle of kids, we've got in excess of 100,000 children every Saturday that are playing and enjoying cricket under the auspices of KFC, because they've got a lifestyle program. They do not promote the eating of fast food. They promote lifestyle. So we're working with them to make proper submissions to explain that maybe we shouldn't take the bath out of the cot. We need to think how we manage the promotion of that advertising. But still, I think some work to be done. I don't know whether Max can add to the question on the unbundling of the school's cricket model to be rolled out in September. But I think you hit the nail on the head that until we join forces with Sports and Rec as well as Department of Education, we do not have as a federation the kind of resources needed to get across the country and really have cricket in every district. We need the partners to help us. We've got the cricketing models. We don't have the resources of schools and certainly budget to roll out what we need to do. Next, is
Madam Chair, just on the, I know we sound very bullish to say we're going to roll out in September, but we have had a series of meetings with the Department of Basic Education, Sports and Recreation. And when they realized that our Hubs 58 is not a concept, but is in fact a field water building facility, then Department of Education said, let's start. And they also have a early learning, early child development program that they also want to bring in with that. Further to that, they got a relationship with Mindset, the Learn Channel, Channel 119 on DSTV. So during that program, we want to then also come on board with our coaching programs, match official programs, so that we can really broadcast to the entire nation at a short space of time. So that's it. Scratch South Africa will help us. They can identify 85,000 name places. We know we've got 26,000 schools, so we will know where the gaps are, but we now scratch the second board. That's enough.
Madam Chair, I think we've covered some of the, in fact, most of the questions that have come through. But what I'm going to do now is to make a general statement around transformation, maybe to cover some of the specific questions. When we came into office in 2013, we resolved to hold a transformation in Durban, which took place on the 13th of September 2013. Unfortunately, there has been a certain culture in the past where conferences will be called, decisions will be taken, but implementation will not take place. What we have done is that once we make a decision, we are going to implement that decision. we are going to monitor that decision, we are going to evaluate that, and that is what we do. And then we took a very clear path to say transformation is an imperative in the country in all spheres of life, in order to address the unfortunate past that the country has had. And therefore, Cricket has not been spared of that unfortunate past. And unfortunately, after unity, 23 years back, we sort of relaxed, and that is so. That in the past few years, you would have had only Makaya Ntini making a strong claim for representation in the national team. And when he went, there had been no regular black African player taking that place. And therefore then we said, we want a system that is going to be developing players so that they are ready for the national team coach. Because our view is that the national team coach, and I believe we correct that the national team coach does not have the responsibility to develop players. The system must make sure that there's a tipping point where the players come through the system for the national team coach then to select the players that are ready. And then we said the level below the national team, that is your franchise cricket, your provincial cricket, your district cricket, local cricket, and so on. Then at that point, we are going to set targets. Mm-hmm. And these targets come from a decision taken in that transformation level where we said we want incremental progressive targets. And then we say at a level of the provincial shooting, we want this number of targets as shown here, minimum of 6 black players. This is a minimum of 6 black players, in that you have 3 black African players. And I think one member has sort of referred to this, that what is a black African and what is a generic black. We're doing that, I know it's very sensitive, but we're doing that so that we're clear and know what to target, so that you don't lose the focus of black African population in the broader sphere of generic black in the team. That's why we're making that the unfortunate specific reference. And by doing that, then we want to create a situation where the national team would have a pool of players, and we are assisting in terms of developing these players, giving opportunities. Max and Corey, the general manager of cricket, they monitor the opportunity to them to these players. Now, once you get to the national team, we say we don't set target at that level. What we do, we give guidelines to the national team selection panel, to the national team their coach, and I think the CEO has explained those guidelines. And then what we also do is to ensure that when a player gets into the national team, the player is ready to get there. And that the player gets into the national team not because he's black, but because he's a good player first, and then he can maintain their position in the national team. We don't want to create an impression which unfortunately seems to be peddled out there, that transformation and skill and performance are mutually exclusive. They are not. You want a player to get into the national team when the player is ready and the player can take a claim and the player can perform. Because if that is not happening, we'll find ourselves in a situation where we say, is this process working? And I don't think we want to second guess this process. We want to ensure that transformation does succeed. And we want to ensure that transformation does unite the entire country, because we say it is a national team, therefore it has to be a truly national team. That is what we mean by transformation. And whatever we do, we're directed by that. And whatever we do, we want to ensure that when the team goes out, it is the best team on the field. And when the team goes out, it has the support of everybody in the country. And we monitor that. We evaluate that, and we think we're on the right side. Maybe by the time this parliament's tenure comes to an end, you could see a lot of difference. Very much, Madam Chair.
Honourable members, I was going to give you, Honourable Bergman, even if you didn't raise your head. But coming late doesn't mean that you didn't raise the document. You know, it's a norm in this committee that honorable members must say something, especially that those who are very young, that sometimes they are putting a flavor in the debate. I wanted to say to you, we did get your apology once you have heard what I've said about the apology, but because we have all read the documents, I'm seeing new hands and follow-ups, and I'm appreciating if the debate is fruitful, and honorable members, they would be interesting to do a follow-up questions. I cannot stop you. Honorable Bergman, Honorable Malazi, Honorable Sudani, Honorable Moshi, on that order, thank you.
Sure, thank you, and I must apologize, but at least my track record speaks for itself, so I'm better start of that. I'm glad Mr. Jordan said what he said, because I was getting a bit concerned. You know, here we're all heaping praises on Cricket South Africa, and we're all saying this is the way to go, but we just forgot people like Mfuneka and Gum. Now, for those cricket lovers like myself, here was a player that was going to shoot the lights out. And I think we were so hell-bent on quotas and trying to get just someone of colour in that this poor guy got to play about 3 or 4 matches and never play it again, which is not the destiny that should have been for a sportsman of Mfuneka and Gum. I think the tragedy of the World Cup is exactly what we've been saying. If you want flavour, the flavour is that Vernon Philander represented this country. He proudly represented this country, and we did him wrong. I think there's no innocent party here. A lot of people went to ground. I think we've heard from CSA and we've heard from the minister. We've heard from the cricketers. Do I still think that there's a little element of doubt? Well, we have to look at a guy like Umphile Ramela, who's an opening batsman and an up and coming star. And one of his biggest fears in the newspapers is that he might be seen as a poacher player. So what are we doing? We're actually creating two classes of world-class players, a normal player and a quota player. And I think transformation has to guard against that for the protection of the players. So no one says no transformation. Transformation is necessary and it's needed. Transformation should have started in 1994, but I think we get the impression that it's only starting in 2015, which is where my concern comes in. So now it comes down to the bottom line of how we get into schools and how we make it equal, because now this is where the problem lies. To play cricket, you need equipment. To play soccer, you don't. You need shoes and you need your body. But to play cricket, you need a bat, you need a ball, you need a ball box, you need pads, you need this and that. It's not a cheap sport. So it almost becomes classist in approach. And you once remarked, Chair, that we were concerned to see that there were lots of netball players that had transformed, but there were no hockey players that had transformed. This gave a race class, but it's really, this gave a race distinction, although it's a class distinction, is that how do we get put disadvantaged children, regardless of race, more of a class, into a game like cricket? And I know that through the reports that the rounders and all that, there's a hard transition to go from grassroots into this mainstream. So this is where our dilemma really lies. We've got to back a process, and I said the same with Sari, and this is where I agree with Mr. Jordan, and I'm heartened to hear what he says. On a national level, you can't fix something. On a national level is when you know that the fruits of what you sowed work. So on a national level, if we've gone to basics and we've done the right thing in the basic level, it should transform. By the time it gets to the national level, the players would be there would be natural transformation, which is in the spirit of sports. So it brings us to the challenge of how we assist Cricket South Africa through it. And I've said it's a multidisciplinary approach where we have to have education coming with us, we have to get sponsorship, and we try and create these pockets of cricket, community cricket. And now we've heard again that challenges, the municipalities are giving us challenges again. We're the ones giving them the money, and they're the ones giving us the challenge. And it's not just Cricket South Africa, all the sporting communities complain about the same thing. That, and for us as a committee, as I say, you know, that we need to back the process, and we need to back the part of the process where we can find, where we can add value. And that's on school level, local level, community level, on a young level. The rest will follow just naturally through the, you know,
through our productivity team.
Thanks, Chair. My thought is based on the reference to the sanctions that are available for provincial franchises that do not meet the targets, if we can get a sense of what those exact sanctions are. And secondly, to pick up on the point that the chairperson made with regards to the guidelines that are provided for national teams and franchises across, is to establish, you know, what happens in scenarios where the competition of a team as is, it can be any team, you know, focusing on the purchase, it can be the under 19 team, but the compilation of the team as is inconsistent with the transformation guidelines. What happens in the instance that takes place to ensure that it bends into or it is within the guidelines of the transformation target? And also just to get your sense on the issue of providing enough opportunities and to building a large pool of players, to get a sense of, is the leadership satisfied that those opportunities were provided during the World Cup, particularly with the case of Aaron Pariso?
Thank you, sir. Cricket South Africa. This is a very, very high level presentation you have given us. The meat, which is what we're looking for, is missing here. Where are the programs? You have deliberately withheld the programs through which we would be able to see exactly what is happening in the cricket world in South Africa. I have got no idea, as I'm sitting here, how a 19-year-old will be trained, managed, and developed to a professional level. I have got no clue. Why have you withheld that information from us? How are we going to assist you at a committee? Well, I have got no clue. I've looked through this book 3 times. Why have you withheld that information from us? I asked about the targets in terms of time. I'm told they are filed somewhere in Pretoria, head office of the department. Why not bring them to us? And you're not even giving us a hint as to how they look like. Why withhold such critical information from us? What games are you playing with us, gentlemen? This is the mix of what we're talking about. And it is not a mistake. It is not a myth. Why are you withholding such critical information? Most importantly, and this is why I feel the way I do, CEO says there is no necessarily, it's transformation with performance, competencies do not necessarily go together. He said he disagrees with that, and he was pointing out at me. Now, that person says the two go together. And this is why now I want to know where are the programs. Because now, that disagreement between the two of you reveals a lot as to where you are. He said, bluntly, that transformation together with competence do not necessarily go together.
Just on a point of order that you misunderstood.
Wait a minute, let me finish. I'll finish off, sir.
Yeah. I wanted to correct something in my sense. But the new way to that is everyone must present his professional and then you must engage. Some of things doesn't want only the presenter, which needs to be interacted by the committee members themselves. Please wait and give the member chance to express himself.
In conclusion, Chair, I want to request that President South Africa come back and present this program to us. Otherwise, we'll be supporting and hoping that the transformation, when in fact we've got no clue how it is going to take place. That is my request to you, Chair. That they should come back and present it. Because with the supporting something that we have got no clue what is contained in the transformation program or development of the game. If I've been too rough, my apologies. Thank you.
With me as a chairperson, I don't want any roughness in our committee. Because sometimes the presenters go out and say, that day we did go to the committee and the way they were addressing us. The only thing that I wanted to say that we can't say
people when they present that if you're not satisfied and then you said you are playing games, I'm taking a very strong reaction on that. Because we're here to share and interact. I don't feel right when you're saying they are playing games. We've said all of us need time frames and said they are still going to sign some other things with the ministry. But honorable member, we cannot say that they are here and they are playing games, but it's your feeling. But as a chairperson, I don't think that that name, playing games, is a right name and in a way that we have started our meetings and understanding what we want about the transformation. I was thinking that we're getting there, but I'm not saying we must not do a follow-up, but we must try to look at our language when we're addressing other human beings. With those words, I'll be giving honorable mercy.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I might have not had the response on the support that is given to Venom. Because look, I indicated that I played soccer as well. You must don't be deceived by my limping. It's arthritis. I was a soccer player, and I know how it feels like when it comes to miss a penalty without anybody saying anything to you. You alone in the evening, you worry about that, and it becomes even worse. You know when the whole country blames you. I think really. You know, we need to have done something about this. You know, the support to boost his confidence. That was my. But the other thing, Chairperson, I don't know. Maybe we just have a Chairperson, the phobia. Maybe if you and I, perhaps led by you, can get all our money and with all our board members and boom booms and getting our money together, put it on the table. Maybe we might be able to build 2-3 stadia in the country. Maybe it is something that is here. But we can only do that, Chairperson, if perhaps we know how much it costs to build, you know, a standard size cricket facility in a rural area. Thank you.
Except that I would ask the presenters and the in behalf of the president that what does that mean by cricket development funding of 2014 to 2015? Is it not your program?
Yes.
Honorable Mayor.
No, sir. You know that's why I said.
The mic.
The program is there as a sound. Because we've been attending this meeting. At one point, I know that we did get the findings of ETG on the transformation charter and the targets, because these things were agreed to by all the sporting bodies and held that there. And at the moment, they are on the process of, through the minister, signing those transformation targets and in the scorecard, because the national sport and recreation pact, amongst others, includes the transformation charter and the targets, and was agreed to by all the 14 bodies, different groups. They agreed to that. That is why there is this process by the ECC of ensuring that they tie each and every federation to those targets, but engage specific federations to agree on that. And that is why very soon the minister will be signing with the five, and then after that, others are going to follow. And you must understand that from ourselves, we've got a police around here. We haven't done away with quotas. Quotas is still there, not as a blackmailing tool, but we are saying if sporting position was not going to move. For us, I mean, we ought to have an option to say no. We can't have a situation like what happened in the World Cup. Because in the World Cup, the issue is around Philadelphia. What about Bangisa? Because Bangisa was still in there, but he didn't even play a single game. Throughout that World Cup, he didn't even play a single game. But there is no outcry about that. So to be honest, I mean, it is not more about class. If you talk about class, Honorable Bergman, you know, the class is there because in South Africa, you apartheid created two nations. It created two nations. And that legacy is still there, Honorable Bergman. It's still there. And it's most unfortunate that part of the problem of the disappearing of talent and that talent not following through that they can compete at the highest level, it is because of that legacy. That legacy is responsible for that, and that is why the current government is trying to ensure that it moves very fast to deal with that legacy and at the same time be competitive. And that is why even ourselves, we can't just say no quotas. Whereas it's there in our policy resources, it's there quotas. But we are giving a sense to the fact that let's ensure that it's whole, take into consideration the factors like the issues of poverty, take into the factors the fact that they might not have a chance to perform at the world class facilities, which are all the things that we are trying to rectify. So for me, really, we need to give Cricket South Africa a chance to move. They were commented, and I'm quite sure that they correct some of the issues that we have faced. They take them on board. But to end up, Honorable Fitzgerald saying, no, we are not with what they have presented. I don't think we support them. But I mean, there are targets there. The only thing that they might overlook is to ensure that they... But they are there. Some of the targets, they are there. They are there in the presentation that they give us. They are there, but they answer correctly. That very soon they decide with the minister. Because the minister is the one that must monitor. He does oversight in the first instance. And we have oversight to the minister. And then where possible also go directly to individual federations. Because the minister does oversight. That is why we've got the eminent persons group. And there are initial findings. All of us, we were given that document. It was a safe document. The department ensured that we should have that document. And that document, it was dealing with all of those things, targets, everything, including the charter that we are busy now trying to ensure that each and every department signs that charter. So for me, really, it's most unfortunate that we ended up sort of losing it to such an extent that we end up in point of order. And it is hard to do that, Honorable Chairperson, because sometimes we are given information that it is as if we are not listening all the time. Thank you,
Honorable. You know what? I hate that every now and then this committee will change where we lambasted. We are not here to lambast anyone. We are here to share the problems of South Africa. Immediately that people who are writing, whoever was writing outside, which is saying that the Sport and Recreation Committee, as Lamba said, the South Africa, who are not here for us. We are here to build a country that was discovered as honorable Ranakhoma Ishling. This is not our own making, all of us, but we are trying to do and reverse the things that we found in here. So I won't allow that every now and then when we're contributing, we must end the double lambasting. To ask questions, it is right. To ask information, to register, it is registration, it is right, but not to lambast. This committee is not created for that. We are here to build and reshape the laws of this country, and we cannot shape them when people who are coming, they were given responsibility. That when we're asking them a question, we can feel like that we are the most important South Africans that we can say and talk anyhow. It's not right, honorable members, and it won't happen again. Sometimes as chairperson, you don't want to be seen as if you are protecting your visitor, because these visitors are for all of us, but the freedom of speech is allowed in a committee. So sometimes you don't want to interject, but I'm pleading that we must criticize constructively if we want to criticize, but first and foremost, this is not a session to criticize. This is a session to share and to close gap and to make the friendship that come for years. We need to have their challenges, it's cold, and to go back to our department, say that we're threat, first and foremost, Cricket South Africa League and other folks, they are firstly sit down with our ministers or our minister, and then they put their views, and then the minister do come in the committee to tell us what this coach is doing. But because we're doing oversight to minister, and also in each individual coach, we want them to come and say what we have heard from each department. But it doesn't allow us to bash them. Please, honorable members, let's not entertain this. And in record, we've said you are getting there. All is not well. You cannot build Rome or over a day. And you presented and we're critiquing your presentation. Where we are not happy, we ask you clarify this, where we want to put our views, that to go and correct APC. That's the only thing that we need to do. And even if you were saying that we're not happy or you didn't even try to do a transformation, the way that we must express ourselves, we're supposed to say, honorable president, we are proposing that go and check and try to correct, not lambast anyone, because we are all South Africa and we are all leaders of South Africa. So I'm appealing, it won't happen again. We'll stop it when it started. We cannot, because it's an image of committee. Immediately, every now and then, when we are contributing, we'll be projected as members who's always angry on our visitors. We cannot construct this country that we have got it like this. This 21 years is nothing where we're coming from. And we want that to must be something. With those words, I don't want that you must take this as an insult to you. Sometimes when we want things to say, crazy trap of addressing us, not in a manner that is honorable as we are supposed to do. If we cannot refer on what just doesn't happen and give us the valid points, I'm appealing. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can assure you, Madam Chair, that the only game that we play is cricket. At the level of administration, we're very serious about what we do. very serious about what we're doing. And if you look at our presentation, the charges that we're referring to that was taken into account at our board meeting on the 13th of March this year will apply in the coming season 2015-2016. The only level of target that we're not at this stage committed is at the national team level because of the errors we try to explain. But before we leave, Madam, I think there's a very important question we was asked by Honourable Malas. I think that needs an a response. As to what happens in a situation where your guidelines at the national team level are not met in terms of selection. We are very clear. Your cricket is a special game. It's a specialist game. It might happen that because of pitch conditions, you need to play two spinners instead of one spinner, maybe four swimmers. Therefore, the coaching scheme, the selection panel have that discretion to apply. And it can be explained to the CEO, and that in the circumstances, we may fall below the national target, but because of these reasons, and there is a reasonable discussion that the panel is given, that will be allowed, it is allowable. Because you need to be looking at first winning the game, and then trying to ensure that you bring in all other aspects. So it did have happened in the past, not once, where you might have maybe a lesser representation at that level in terms of guidelines, but because there would have been very good explanation. Cathy has a nature which the CEO would have to respect. I wanted to make that clarification, Madam Chair, because I believe it's very important. And it's going back and going forward again. It might happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable President, if anyone want to answer any question, I'm suspecting in this stage, you want to say something?
Well, I think the Honorable Member reminded us about whether we had supported Vernon Fernandez. In fact, I can assure you we've done that. We've done it with Skylabber. We've spoken to the captains of the team. They're all comfortable, and I can assure you I've got personal contact with each of those individuals. And they are quite satisfied and are quite happy. They're in a good place, so there's no need for concern. It's quite right, because when that player sits on his own and he visualizes either missing the penalty or drop the catch, it is a very difficult thing for a player to handle, because the country's sports invested on that particular day. We've done everything we can, and those players are well supported.
Let me take this opportunity that it was a good day today, because tomorrow we'll be debating our vote. So you did come on this day that you are giving us very important information, that all these members, at least you are giving us an update and correcting even some perspective that are out there. Create South Africa would love that come this coming years that you must always do what you are doing, update us, but you must bear in mind that this committee, it means rural transformation. This committee does know what it needs, when it needs, when we are saying that we want the transformation. We don't want that you must take black people without any quality. We are not saying that. We are very clear at this committee. What does that mean when we are saying we want to see transformation? Transformation goes with so many things. Even this problem for of course, we know what we want as this committee. And no one must say anything that we didn't say. We're still maintaining we want transformation. And if transformation is not there, and it's not going to be there within a short time period. We must arm each other. We must propose processes. We must take the processes of each court. But those who are not yet started, we do tell them that, you know, you are not even trying to start. We are not ashamed to tell them. And if really they are not yet started, we do tell them. We are impressed with Cricket South Africa. You do have your limitations. You do have some gaps that were highlighted to you. It's the only thing that we're thinking that come these years, we're still going to be together. We'll call you you will update us, the department first and foremost, does come and tell us any developments from East Coast. But as this comes, because we're doing the oversight, it's not because we don't trust our department. It's our role and right to call each and every court. But whilst we're calling you, we want you to share information and interact. And we'll be trying to improve in our interactions with each and every visitor that we're calling, that they must leave us that with a respect, saying that we do have points, we do have our own thinking. So with those words, we're saying that we are happy, we are thinking that we are on the right track. Thank you, honorable members, with everybody who contributed the meeting of the first part is adjourned. Honorable members, we have one set of minutes that we must look at. That's the only thing that is left with us. Honorable members, we don't have enough time. Tomorrow we are preparing for our debate. I need you to go and polish your speeches. We don't want to be embarrassed in the plenary. So I want us to start with our minutes. President, if you can sit. I know that it was a good day. Can we have time to do our minutes? I think everybody wants to talk to the honorable members, I'm presenting the minutes of the 28th with you. Ask other members to get in. Can we continue?
I'm just listening to it.
Oh, no. I'm seeing. Honorable members, I'm taking you in front of me the minutes of the 28th.
it was briefing for boxing South Africa. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9. And the last page, page 10. What has arisen from page 1? When we adopt them with corrections. Honorable Manan.
Thank you, sir. On page 3.
Page 3,
on those questions, committee asked, number 1, I think I was asking if maybe we can, before we adopt them, we might add the number 1 point that says where certain people were making money from court cases through boxing SA.
Any other correction or addition? Let's go to page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Honorable Malak.
Thanks, Chair. I think one of the missing stuff on page 8, on the questions that was raised, was about the lack of timelines for Boxing South Africa's program, more so with regard to their plans to find their own accommodation.
If it's not included, it was part of our discussion, it will be included. Thank you. Page 9. The last page, page 10. Can you adopt our minutes with corrections? Honorable Abraham.
I propose adoption of corrections. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Abraham. Any second? Honorable Malachi.
Second, sir.
The minutes of the 12th May, page 1, page 2, page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6.
let's go to matters arising or corrections. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Except that in page 5 I did go with the content and write and present the budget, and we've been told that no committee of parliament this year that can take any trip outside the country. The budget, proposed budget and the format, we've been congratulated saying that you are the first committee who did come with a sense of what you are going on, and then the office of the House Chairperson and my office, they will look and do the finality of the budget. The House Chairperson was impressed. Let's congratulate Elsa together as a collective. That they were saying that other committees may come without even a proposal. That's why we said, and I was saying that we cannot go without the mandate of this committee. That's the matter arising on the presentation of our committee budget and everything. Page 6. Any adoption? Anyone want to adopt these minutes? Honourable,
I move for adoption, sir.
Any second? Honourable Manan?
I second.
Thank you very much, honourable members. Go and prepare that tomorrow we must be amongst those committees who have sat down and prepare our speeches. Let's portray what we've been discussing in the committee. And I'm hoping and wishing all of us the best day, because I've seen that other debates, they were horrible because of the interjection of amongst ourselves. I'm hoping that interjections are allowed and robust debate is allowed. But sometimes if we attend a committee, that when you're getting there, you can walk out of the day. It doesn't go well. So I'm hoping that we'll be debating, presenting our views. Our views cannot be seen, but in a different manner that we also hang ourselves. We can differ, but when in the podium, I'm pleading, if you don't like that, I'm pleading that we must present our facts in a dignitary way, a dignity debate of this committee. Because we've been sitting here as a different political parties, but in a way that we've belonged to each other, I'm happy about it. We do have views that are not the same, because we're not coming from same political parties or same organization, but because we do want this sport to see it's doing well. The ruling part, the opposition part, let's behave. Let's not howl each other. Let's differ in views in a way that is a reflection of our commit. I'm pleading, if there are those who think that they don't want my plea, but because we've been a family, that we do differ in this committee, in debate. We must not go there and make our debate to be a mockery. I'm pleading with those words. Thank you, honorable members. You need to go, you must go and tell other strategies to steal the votes from ANC. Try another way. Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh